take a moment to turn your attention inward and give rise to the bodhicitta, the most precious thought, the queen of all thoughts, which is your aspiration to see the true nature of all things in this very spot, and to be transformed for the benefit of all. Intention to go inside and to find out the forest within, the forest where Buddha invited all of us to enter and to discover the true nature of oneself, as well as all things. With that, first please have your back straight with a sense of dignity. It means that you are courageous, strong, and you're not going to easily fall prey to the inner challenges. And then relax your shoulders, which is also to bring this non-violence attitude towards your body, your mind, towards also this practice as well. This is not to be militant, and not to abuse your body or torture your mind, but to be gentle. Because to abuse oneself in all spirituality is a form of ego. So be ease, gentle with yourself, knowing that you don't have to struggle. All you need to do is surrender, and then only thing that dissolves is ego. You also might like to tuck in your chin a little bit. And you can close your eyes for a while, and then begin to bring your attention to the breathing. Feel your breath everywhere, in your nostrils, in your abdomen, in your belly. Feel all the your body's response to each breath. Let go of your worry, your struggle, your strategies, but you yourself give it to the each breath. keep returning to the breath. Of your concentration on the breathing. Be a witness, just like you are sitting on the beach and observing the sea, its waves. In the same way, your consciousness can be like sea. The rising personal thoughts can be like the waves. Here you just witness without following them or trying to eradicate them. So there's no need to turn your attention either inward or outward. Don't try anything. Let go of all your exertions. Just be a witness. A beautiful thought may arise. Don't follow it. Or perhaps ugly thought may arise, don't follow it. Leave them alone without also trying to transcend them. As time goes by, you feel this sense that your consciousness is indestructible, cannot be harmed, cannot be harmed by your thoughts. And there's no more grasping to your thoughts, then nothing can harm your consciousness. Nothing can wither or condition your consciousness. And this is what the Buddha called pure mind. When we act with this pure mind, then there's no more karma. All our action arises from not our habit, but from awareness. And also there is understanding arises in this pure mind, and that is this seeing that all the essence of all thoughts are illusion, unreal, non-material, insubstantial, flexible as they are. Maybe that is what they call pranjana or vipassana sometimes. Our grasping and attachment to the thoughts gives a very strong sense of self, this separate self. So here when we observe, welcome all our experiences, hidden emotion, joy, boredom, ordinariness, as well as also holiness, joy, misery, without any resistance or grasping or wanting to hold on to them. Then, as time goes by, you feel that this a dying process takes place inside you, feeling that something is dying inside you. So what that is, that's dying. Ego is dying. The grasping, attachment to the ego is dying, dissolving. Continue to be witness without trying to get somewhere. Stay here, be present, witness, no matter what your experience might be, ordinary, holy, boredom, joy, stay with whatever is unfolding, and then sooner or later, the self-grasping, the self-grasping, the self-attachment dissolves.
Okay, it just turned up.
Tricky.
Okay.
Then we come maybe your mind. It's a great honor for me to come here and teach at inside the meditation center in Santa Cruz. The word insight is very important in Buddhist tradition. It's called Pranjana, Vipassana, in today's Dhamma. It is a form of inner illumination. An inner illumination that can happen to the consciousness of each of us. It is an insight seeing the true nature of each of us. The infinite dimension of each of us. And that is the unborn Buddha within. And there are a few traditions in Buddhism that use this very words, original face. Zen Buddhists use it, also Tibetan Buddhists use it. Original face is this infinite, this undescribable dimension of each of us. In the end, spiritual journey is about losing our grasping and identification with the finite dimension of each of us, and then waking into infinite dimension of each of us. This was clearly spoken by Buddha himself in one of those sutras, Nikaya Sutras. Buddha said that there is going away from
going away on a motorcycle.
That is a condition may become to that is a unconditioned, unmade, unbecome. And there is dimension of you that is unmade, unconditioned, unbecome, unmade. So, undescribable, has no birth, has no death. Has no beginning, has no end, and this is not abstract either. This is not one of those abstract ideas that you find in many spiritual traditions. And this is not even a belief, and actually you cannot believe this either. You cannot come here join your hands or raise your hands, say, you're going to believe in this. It's not like you can go to a big temple and say, I believe in this, I believe in this doctor, I believe in this God, I believe in this deity. There's nothing to believe. The infinite dimension of yourself is not a doctrine. That's where you cannot believe. It's like trying to say, I believe the sky. Or trying to say, I believe the ocean. This is what we are asked to realize. It is very possible that we have sometimes a momentary recognition of this dimension of each of us, our own original face. That is the inside, that is the Vipassana. The moment you realize your original face, then there's no more bondage. Then you are free. You're free from anything. You're free from all limitations. You're free from being, from all human condition. Free from being wealthy, poor, sick, healthy, young, old. Being loved, not being loved, you're free from everything. You are then free from all hopes and all fear. If the whole world loves you, you won't be depressed after that. If the whole world hates you, you won't be depressed either. You are going to die by this evening, and you won't be terrified either. Still, you might be able to sing songs and walk to a store that's cross street from your house and grab ice cream. Life will be much more fun to live. If you are free, this life will be much more fun. And many people are living in everyday like prisoners in their consciousness. Even though they are free, but they live as prisoners inside. Recently, 4 months ago, almost by now, I myself and some other Tibetan lamas organized an event, a Buddhist forum for 2 days. Around 20 Tibetan lamas came there. You know, lama, not the animal form. Many years ago, I was in Santa Cruz with another lama, a person who Giva's ride was a nurse, and she gave us a ride to this town, Santa Cruz. And then she said she had to stop at her office. She went inside, and in a few minutes, all these people came out. She told them that there are two lamas waiting for them. People didn't even have a chance to ask which lama, they thought it was two animals. Latin America, South America. So, and this strange Europe. So 20 of them come, and one of them said to the doctor, we have to change the spiritual language. We have to change many of the terminologies that exist in Buddhist tradition for last 2,000 years, if more than that. He said, we have to get rid of this word, naraka, means hell. By the way, there is a concept of hell in Buddhism. Another Lama said, we can't get rid of that. So there are two Lamas debating with each other. One is saying that we have to completely get rid of this word. Another one is saying that we have to keep it, have the thought there is a hell somewhere under mountain Kailasha. Many people believe that. Then I jumped middle of their argument. And I told them, maybe we can keep that word. It's okay to keep that word. But I also told them, hell is not outside. Hell is already in each of us. Hell is a state of consciousness, because many people are already living in hell. Not hell without, but within. Still lost in angry, hatred, confusion. Many people live like prison, and their consciousness is like a hell, literally. So you lose all your fear, all your hope once you're free. True freedom comes into them when you realize the infinite dimension of yourself. The finite dimension of yourself is this separate self. The egoic self. This limited self in which you're being as an individual, a separate entity, as a man or as a woman, once there was a great Indian master who came to Tibet. His name was Atisha. A yogi approached him and asked Atisha to give him the highest spiritual teaching. Atisha said, if you're ready, I will give you the highest teaching. And of course he was very much ready. Atisha said, from now on, from this moment on, never think of your first name. Never think of your last name. Never think of your home. This is the teaching. Quite powerful teaching. Never think of your first name from now on. Never think of your last name or your family name from now on. Never think your home from now on. It said that this yogi took Adisha's teaching into his heart and he lived that teaching. So the story said that in 3 or 5 years, in 5 years he became enlightened. So it doesn't really matter, 5 years or 3 years. The story said that he became enlightened. What Adisha is saying is that transcend your touching into your name, to your identity. To all your identity as a man, a woman, identity as a human being in a body. We are human beings. Transcend all your attachment to yourself. Lose all your identity. Find one identity of yourself that is real, that is concrete. Lose your attachment to self. Can you tell yourself or tell me what would it be like if you completely let go of attaching them to yourself? Please do not try to understand this teaching right now. There's nothing to understand. If you try to understand, all you're going to find is that I'm rambling. But if you don't try to understand, then simply just hearing this teaching, then maybe something inside opens up. So my question is that we want to be free. This is a very important question that I have to ask of you. So please take this question into your heart. Let me ask this question again. You really want to be free? What is it that you want right now? If you realize that the only thing that you want, or the highest desire in your life, is to be free, then I will tell you how lucky you are. I even tell you, you are truly fortunate. Congratulations to you. But if you tell me somehow that to be free is not the most thing that you want, and then as a friend I will ask you to pray and learn how to have this aspiration, this longing to be free. Keep praying to be free until this longing for the freedom becomes the highest desire in your heart. There's somebody in my community who is a great meditator. He has been in Zen Buddhism for decades, and he has the best posture. He's like one of those meditation models. But he didn't know how to pray. He was coming from this point of view of conquering himself, conquering his body, conquering samsara. It's all about the conquering. So there's almost a sense of rigidity and harshness. This has nothing to do with Zen. Zen is a beautiful tradition. This has to do with himself. So then I kept telling him that he has to pray. He has to go from head into the heart. Mm-hmm. And finally he got the message and he started praying. A while ago he approached me, he said, "Now I'm praying." And there's a genuine smile on his face. I felt that his even body is relaxing as well as his mind. He said, "I'm praying these days." And then he said, "I'm praying every morning. I will pray always. May I be free from my self-concerns." And I told him, "This is a beautiful prayer. From now on, you don't have to go to Buddhist library and to do research on the liturgies and trying to learn prayer. This is the perfect prayer. Not only that, you are the composer of this prayer. So recite this prayer. You don't have to memorize any traditional prayer. Just keep doing this prayer every day." Maybe he finally learned how to have this longing, this deep longing to be free. Free from attachment to oneself. Perhaps I'm going to say what Atisha told. From now on, I will ask you never have attachment to yourself. Never have attachment to your body, your name, your identities. The insight is this realization that we are not this finite dimensional oneself, but we are this indescribable reality. This is the whole reason of coming here today, to sit in silence and go inside, so maybe. And there is sometimes a miracle where a great opening takes place inside you. Where your mind opens and see something that you haven't seen in the past. Great opening, maybe opening the eye of our Dharma, may already happen to you today. This opening can happen merely by sitting in silence with a courage and trust. This opening that I'm speaking about, opening of our eye of consciousness, that already has happened to you, or maybe to you. Today, it will happen another time. You just have to keep coming back to this very sanctuary and to observe silence. In this very moment, I'm doing everything I can do for you. Mm-hmm. This is all I can do. But not so much I can do for you. I'm a catalyst. Mm-hmm. Somebody sitting here and staring into all of you. And inviting all of you to open the eye of Dharma inside you, the eye of the truth, and recognize your original face. According to Buddhism, this great insight, this great opening can happen to any human being, can happen to each of us. Remember, the method Buddha taught was utterly simple. Method for enlightenment was utterly simple. If you ever read the Satipatthana Sutta, a very profound sutta, in that sutta Buddha taught the complete version of the way to enlightenment. Theoretically, that's all you have to have. If somebody can send you to moon, Mars, that's the only text you have to have. You don't have to have any spiritual literature beside that as an idea. The secret of enlightenment is complete in that short passage, the sutra spoken by Buddha. At the same time, the method that Buddha illuminated is unbelievably simple. Let me recite a few phrases from that sutra. It's unbelievably simple. Basically, Buddha said, be aware of what you're doing. Be aware of that you're walking, standing, that you're breathing and breathing out. It means if you're truly still inside, present, then the opening of the eye of Dharma happens in this moment. So you notice that there is a spontaneous silence right now that happens even during this teaching. Each silence is an opportunity for you to be still, present, to open your heart, as well as also the moment in which this great opening can strike you. This is all wonderful because now we are exploring a truth that is completely non-vulnerable. And therefore there's lots of solvings right now. When you get to the very heart of Buddhism, the words becomes a little bit meaningless. The depth of Buddhism cannot be spoken, cannot be uttered. Maybe that's why there's lots of silence right now. Just like the flower sarma. Mm-hmm. Buddha didn't utter even one word. And yet Mahakasyapa understood the truth that Buddha was trying to express. So there was a flower exchange between Buddha and Mahakasyapa. And that teaching is called flower sarma. I'm going to ask one of you to come here and to receive a motive point in our instruction. Something we do in my tradition now and then. I feel that somehow there's readiness in this Sangha to receive point in our instruction. Can one person come here to be the recipient of a pointing out instruction? Oh, there's more than one person, maybe three people. Please bring your cushion. Om ye dharma yata bhar bhava hetinte khantata gato harya vatite khanchayo nirode om vadma sharma naye svaha. Kansa darsam garavashra sampanma karajumam yukhirana Satranamya tirtan gyatsa sokvatrama mandamna asurvande. Kansa darsam garavashra sampanma karajumam yukhirana Sozaranam yatirtan gyartha so katrav namanam la sarvandya. Kanzanadarsam garavashira sampama garajambanyakarna Sozaranam yatirtan gyartha so katrav namanam la sarvandya. Omanchukirayanki pobrana dosam sangye bingye mo nyadasam chukam osam tanzapi savir namanam la sorvande. Welcome here. Today I invite you to receive this gift, point in our instruction. This is a experiential teaching, non-conceptual teaching. Through this teaching, I'm going to point out your original face on this very ground, in this nowness. Please, you all are going to participate in this transmission. This is a transmission precious transmission. In my tradition, the masters have been offering this transmission, this pointing out instruction. So I will ask to remove all your doubt, all your resistance in this very moment. If you have any doubt, and let go of it. Be courageous and open-hearted right now. Imagine that you have been waiting for this moment for countless eons. Don't try to understand this teaching through your mind, but go into your heart. Be courageous. Ask to relax, rest your hands and knees, leave your eyes open, be present. There's nothing to be done except noticing this silence and also allow yourself to hear this word, not through your mind but through your heart. There's nothing to be done in this very moment. No need to meditate, no need to analyze. All you need to do is to be aware of that you are sitting here. Right now there is ground that is ground inside you that has no beginning, has no end. That cannot be defined as a male or female. Inside you, when you get into that state of yourself, it's like getting into the vast space where you can neither find its center, its limit. In this moment, if you turn your attention inward, you cannot find yourself. Not a finding is the greatest finding. That non-finding, that emptiness, that groundlessness is your original face. This is who you are. This groundlessness is the Dharmakaya, the eternal Buddha. You are the eternal Buddha. So you're sitting just pointing our instruction. So thank you for having so much trust to receive this teaching. I also want to let you know that I offered this point in our instruction with my best intention. No ego involvement. With my best intention, with my love. Not with any ulterior motives. My intention was, and that somehow my words, my effort to become meaningful today to all of you, either we meet with each other or not again. And so my effort will have some kind of power or blessings to open the eye of your consciousness and to see your original face, even for a single moment, because that can change your life forever. If you saw your original face, and sooner or later you realize that there was a healing happened inside you. But also I'm going to ask your forgiveness to offer this point in our instruction if I haven't done it correctly. So please forgive me. But all I can tell that I came from the best motivation. My intention wasn't like I'm going to be the guru giving you blessings. That wasn't my intention. My intention was to be a catalyst and offer my effort with love, with devotion to you, with reverence to you. And so maybe my effort have a little impact on your consciousness. Also in my tradition, when the Lama offer point-now instruction, he or she ask a recipient to share experience. Can you do that to me? Can you tell me what did you realize from this Panjana instruction? I don't have words to anyone going to your microphone. So can you describe your experience, your confusion or your inside, your fear or your devotion? Tell me everything honestly.
It was all there, the fear, the devotion, the openness, the wanting to do it right, and I would like to ask your forgiveness if I in some way didn't but completely to your teaching, because it's very precious to me. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Now you can take a seat.
Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me to this lovely sanctuary. You have such a wonderful Sangha community. We have developed a very strong affinity between my community, Dharmata community, and the Theravada Buddhist community, the inside Sangha, the teachers and inside Sangha are truly amazing. They are intelligent, open-hearted, authentic, and there's very strong evidence that they want to be at service of other people, to help and change it in the society. So I'm very much enjoying this ever-unfolding affinity. Mm-hmm. This is sisterhood. Mm-hmm. This is brotherhood. Mm-hmm. And also, we are teaching the same thing. As time goes by, it becomes more and more clear that there's only one Dharma. Or even the expressions becomes very much the same. It's like there's a harmony. Even there's so much harmony in the expression of Dharma too. And I also have a personal affinity with the Santa Cruz. I lived here for many years. It's like returning to my hometown. Mm. I haven't been back here for a long time. Definitely not for teaching. So this is quite wonderful heart opening for me. Many years ago, I taught at someone's house, somewhere in Santa Cruz. The group was much smaller than this. And today we have quite a few people. Not only that, it feels that there's so much sincerity, courage in all of you. So this is truly inspiring, heart opening, and made me extremely happy. My heart is dancing. I thought, it's all good. So this is a beautiful sanctuary. Please realize that how fortunate we are to have this sanctuary, the wonderful Dharma guides. So find time in your life to visit the sanctuary, to explore the path of Buddha, and to give rise to the insight. And so you'll recognize your original face countless times from now on. And then, in the end, you realize that to be human is very fun. Today I received an email from one of my long-time friends who came to retreat in Albuquerque just the last weekend. And she said, after the retreat, I went back to Austin, Texas. That's where her home is. She said, every morning I'm playing music and dancing. So that's the whole point of spirituality, to have fun. To have fun without hurting other people. And there's a way to have fun without hurting other people. This is what Buddhism teaches. Isn't that great? Finally, you can have so much fun without hurting others. Usually people don't know that. They tend to hurt others when they have fun. So may you have plenty of enlightened fun. Non-violent fun. And have so much fun that you become like one of those Mahasiddhas, the blissful one. Now we'll join dedication prayer together. Let's dedicate the merit of this wonderful general retreat as a cause to renewal famine, war, plague, disharmony on this planet, and to bring about prosperity, healing, happiness, harmony throughout the world. In short, we dedicate this merit as cause of awakening all living beings to their, to nature as Dharmakaya, the unborn Buddha.
By this merit, may all seen perfect awakening, rising above all forces of negativity, going beyond the turbulence of birth, old age, sickness, and death, May all beings be free from the ocean of samsara.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.